This is Lawrence Tuning, and these are my 88 friends.
Me and my 88 friends. Me and my 88 friends. I will sing you a song that will help me along. They're my one-man band. I'm their number one fan. Me and my 88. Me and my 88 friends.
Welcome to episode number 22 of Me and My 88 Friends. I want to welcome you here today. This show is being aired on Easter weekend, and my special guest on this episode is simply my 88 friends. Seriously, it's just gonna be me and my 88 friends today. Gonna sing some songs about the season. This is the greatest weekend in all of history that we celebrate. We celebrate the cross, and then we celebrate the empty tomb. I want to start this episode with the song, Me and My 88 Friends. You only hear the first verse, and by the way, this song was written way back in the 80s, mid-80s, and it was not a theme song to a radio show. It's an actual song that talks about my love affair with the piano and the decision to devote the piano playing to glorifying the King of Kings. So I want to play the entire version of this song, Me and My 88 Friends. In my sight, some are quiet, some are loud, some stand out in a crowd. Me and my 88, me and my 88 friends. We've been friends for a long, long time, ever since I was old enough to climb up on a piano stool and get to know them one by one. Me and my 88 friends. Me and my 88 friends. Some are black, some are white. They are precious in my sight. Some are high, some are low. Re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. Yeah. Me and my 88. Me and my 88. Friends. I've always said that the most beautiful autumn in the world to me is a New England autumn, and the most beautiful spring is a southern spring, and this year is no different here in South Carolina. The dogwoods are blooming, the irises are coming out. It's a beautiful time of the year. I have a song called Springtime that I recorded back in about 2011 on my CD called The Road Back Home. It talks about the different seasons in a person's life. What I said before when we played it was that it was originally written in my 20s, and so everything was new, everything was fresh, and it was from the perspective of a person in the springtime of their youth. Well, as you know, seasons change. I'm now approaching the winter of my life, and so I rewrote it to reflect the different stages that we go through as we walk with the Lord. So here we go with the song, Springtime.
Without end.
That song was recorded in Bloomington, Indiana. Of course, Bloomington is the home of Indiana University. They've got a great school of music there. And that sax player is just an incredible horn player named Tom Clark. I decided that I would like to devote most of this episode to singing songs about the events that happened this weekend about 2,000 years ago. In the book of John, chapter 18, you have this intimate conversation between Jesus and Pilate. It's just the two of them talking. Pilate wanted to talk a little further with Jesus. The Bible says that his wife had a dream and sent word to him and said that she was troubled with a dream about Jesus and that he should be careful to treat him right. And then when Pilate heard that Jesus claimed to be God, he got troubled and he wanted to talk a little bit more. And so they began to talk. They began to talk about their kingdoms. He asked Jesus, "Are you a king?" And Jesus said, basically, "I am, but I'm not the kind of king that you're thinking about." He said, "My kingdom is a kingdom of truth." Then an interesting thing happens at that point. Pilate turns and he asks Jesus, "What is truth?" Legitimate question. A lot of people ask that. But Pilate was like a lot of people also, in that as soon as he asked the question, the next verse says he walked away. He ended the conversation. He didn't stay long enough to have a meaningful search for really what truth was. So I wrote this song about that conversation. It's called "What is Truth?" There's a trial somewhere in Jerusalem. Outside, angry people scream. Inside, two men face each other. History will never be the same. Private room, the two are standing, reaching for some understanding. Then they speak about their kingdoms. Jesus said, "I came for truth." "What is truth?" Pilate said. Then he quickly turned his head. He didn't really want to know for sure. Then he turned and walked outside and allowed him to be crucified. But not before he washed his hands. He said, "I find no fault in this man." And yet the cry still haunts the land. What is truth? What is truth? How can you leave?
when no one's listening? How can you show them the way to truth? What is truth? Pilate said. Then he quickly turned his head. He didn't really want to know for sure. Then he turned and he walked outside and allowed him to be crucified. Not before he washed his hands. He said, I find no fault in this man. Yet a question still remains. What is truth? What is truth? What is truth? The people cried as they tightly closed their eyes. They didn't really want to see for sure. Then they said, show us a sign, one that's greater than the one last time. Always seeking further proof. Just one more sign, but none will do. What a question to pursue. What is truth? What is truth? What is truth?
I'm going to ask my friend Buddy Miles to come down from the sound booth, pick up his Martin guitar, play this old classic song with me. A lot of people have recorded this song. Some people think Hank Williams wrote it. He popularized it. Others think it was just written and was a traditional song, the author unknown. At any rate, I love this song. First time I ever heard it was on a record by Joan Baez. She made this album to honor her then husband, who was in jail for protesting the Vietnam War at the Democrat Convention in 1968. There was a movie made about them this year, about the Chicago Seven. But this song isn't a protest song. It's a song about Jesus. Only a tramp was Lazarus's fate. He lay down by the rich man's gate. He begged for crumbs from the rich man to eat. And they left him to die, just like a tramp on the street. Jesus, who died on Calvary's tree, shed his life's blood for you and for me.
his hands, his side and his feet. Then they left him to die, just like a tramp on the street. He was Mary's little darling. He was God's only son. Once he was fair, and once he was young, Mary used to rock him, her little darling, to sleep. But they left him to die, just like a tramp on the street. His hands, his side and his feet. Then they left him to die, like a tramp on the street. Why did they leave him to die? A tramp on the street.
Thank you, buddy. I'm going to shake the cobwebs off of a song or two before this show's over. This is one I wrote, one of my earliest songs. And it talks about a mystery. We'll talk about this in just a minute or two. The cross is a great mystery. It doesn't make sense to the natural mind. And yet it was God's plan. Some things I can't explain, they remain a mystery. I do not fully understand the way you plan my destiny. I still don't comprehend how your blood could wash away my sin. Even though this may always be a mystery, just the same, I praise your name. I know the angels must have cried the day you died because of me. It must
must have pierced your mother's soul just to behold Calvary. And it must have hurt the Father too when he had to turn his face from you. Yes, I know that this may always be a mystery. But just the same, I praise your name. Thank you, Lord, so much. One day you touched and you changed my life. All I know is I may never know why you ever chose to love me so. And even though this may always be a mystery, but just the same, I praise your name.
The cross is a mystery. It always has been. I was reading in the Word just last week where the Apostle Paul said that it was a great mystery, God's plan. And he even said that the enemy, and we're talking about the devil now, was unaware of the plan. And it's like God tricked him. It's like God tricked the enemy. Because the enemies of Jesus thought if they could just kill him off, they would win. But the fact of the matter is, the Bible is very clear, and this is what the great mystery is, that the shedding of his blood was the act, was the thing that broke the curse of Satan and made a way for you and I to be free from the debt our sins had amassed against us. There's a debt that had to be paid from our sins. And we can't pay it because we've all sinned. The only way that we could get out of it would be for somebody who was totally innocent to take the punishment that we were going to get after death. And the only way that could happen is for Jesus to come, the Son of God, who knew no sin, to come and be our substitute. We've talked about this on an episode before, the whole issue of substitution. Jesus was what they call the atonement. He gave the atonement. What that means, he was the propitiation. Those are big, long Scrabble words, propitiation. You could get a lot of points in Scrabble using that word, but what it means is that someone paid the price for us. And that's what Jesus did on the cross. Our only hope is the substitute that was made for us, because we can't pay it. Jesus paid it. I told a story, I think a few episodes ago, about a man in France who was the son of a mother who had three sons. Two of them had died in the Napoleonic Wars, if that's a word. Napoleon fighting. This is a true story. And a neighbor of the lady just thought it was terrible. She had lost two sons, and they had drafted the third one. He was getting ready to go to war. The neighbor went to the French government and asked them if he could go in his place. And they made the arrangements that he could go for this young man. Well, the neighbor got killed in the war. Later on, as the war progressed, the French government came back and told the lady that her son would have to go fight in the war. He was drafted, and she protested. She said, he's already been paid for. And they didn't believe her, but they pulled the books out, and they saw this man's name. There was a big line written through the name, and this neighbor's name was above it. And they said, well, you're right. Somebody else went for you. And that's what we celebrate on Good Friday and this weekend. The blood of Jesus was shed to set us free. And I just love that thought. A couple of weeks ago, I sat down and I played you a song that I had just written and kind of put in the file. I think I only had sung it two or three times. But it's called Stop the Music. And I want to play that again on this episode. I would rather stop the music if I can't glorify the one who shed his blood for me. Let's play that now. I would rather stop the music, never sing again. I would rather end it here and now, quickly walk away. Let it all become just a faint memory, something in my past never again shall be. If I cannot glorify the one who shed his blood for me, at a place called Calvary, do you know that they drove nails in his hands and feet, and his precious blood came streaming down? They placed a crown of thorns on his sacred brow. Then they laughed at such a sight. And as his pain was mounting so deep inside, heaven's gates were being opened wide. And on that day, he paid the debt for me, for all eternity. At a place called Calvary, when he bled and died, he paid the price. Yes, he gave his life as a sacrifice. Debt was paid when he was lifted up. And if I can't lift him up, I'd rather hang it up, as I would rather stop the music, never play another note. I would rather burn all those songs
songs I wrote and turned to other things. For I've had a good long look at Jesus, and I love everything I see, and I just want to glorify the one who shed his blood for me. At a place called Calvary, there's a place called Calvary.
You're listening to my podcast, Me and My 88 Friends. This is Lawrence Tuning. This show was offered to me as a vehicle for me to sing you various songs that I have written over the last 50 years. I want to play now my favorite song that I've ever written, and it's so appropriate this weekend. It's called At the Foot of the Cross.
They were watching from a distance, and they would not take their eyes from you. You were bleeding, they were weeping, faithful sister. They had followed you, they could not understand. Standing near your mother, they were so close, they could hear you sigh. All around them, angry voices pierced the darkness, and you were dying.
the storm. Something is wrong. Who moved the stone? The body should be here, but he is not here, and the soldiers are gone. Why are you seeking the living in a tomb? He is not here. He got up this morning. You can dry all those tears. There's a new day dawning. The stones rolled away. He could not stay. He needed much more room. Christ is not dead. He's living. Not in a tomb. Can this be true? Can this be real? Have been spoken. Can this be real? And I turn and I see him. He calls my name and I worship and kneel. Oh, he is not here. This morning can dry all those tears. There's a new day dawning. The stones roll away. He could not stay. He needed much more room. Christ is not dead, he's living instead. He's not in a tomb. Oh, Christ is not dead, he's risen instead. He's not in a tomb. I've been to a lot of funerals in my day, sung at a lot of funerals, been in a lot of cemeteries, and seen a lot of epitaphs. Gone but not forgotten, that was a big one. Somebody put in a cemetery, actually wrote it on the tombstone. This is a true story now. Now, will you believe I was really sick? That was what they wrote on their tombstone. But the greatest epitaph in history is, he is not here. He is not here. He's not in the tomb. I've been over there. I've seen what they believe was the tomb. Very moving experience. Let me just say a word or two about the resurrection and why it was such a great world-changing event. It proved that everything Jesus said about himself was really true. If he had not been raised from the dead, it would be very easy for us to say he just was lived a great life, and sure his followers thought highly of him. But the resurrection really could not be disproved. A lot of people have tried to disprove it. They can't. Here's the deal about the resurrection. Before that happened, Jesus' followers were fearful, timid, hiding, afraid of what the authorities might do. But then something happened, and they went and shook the whole world and were martyred. All of the disciples but one, historians believe, were martyred. And the proofs that he gave were unmistakable. This was not just seeing a ghost or seeing an apparition. These people touched him. They had long conversations with him. Peter walked down the beach with him. There's a place in the Bible where Jesus made a campfire and cooked breakfast. He sat and taught them. He told them which side of the boat to put their net on. Unmistakable. Thomas didn't believe it at first. You know the story. Jesus said, here, put your hand, touch my skin, touch the scar. And this didn't happen with just one or two people. I want to give you a little list here of all the people that Jesus appeared to. He appeared to, first of all, Mary Magdalene. He appeared to several other women. He appeared to Peter. He appeared to two people walking on the road to Emmaus. He appeared to 10 of the disciples. Thomas wasn't there. A week later, he appeared to 11 of them. He appeared to 7 of them who went fishing in Galilee. The Apostle Paul says he appeared to 500 people at one time. And he appeared to his disciples on Ascension Day when he ascended into heaven. And then there's also a very interesting person that he appeared to, and that was to James. Now, when the Bible talks about James in this instance, it wasn't the Apostle James, but there was another man who was called James, the Lord's brother. A lot of people find this hard to believe, but the Bible says that after the Virgin Mary gave birth to Jesus, she had other children that were by Joseph. The Bible said that Joseph refrained from union with her or sexual union with her until after the birth of Jesus. But when Jesus went to the temple in Nazareth and the people were offended with him, they said, isn't this the carpenter's son? This is in Matthew 13. They said, isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother Mary, who we know? And isn't he the brother? And it names four guys, James, Joseph, Simon, Jude, and his sister. So Jesus had four brothers and at least two sisters. And one of the people that Jesus appeared to was the next in line, James, the second son of Mary. The interesting thing about this is that the Bible teaches that Jesus' brothers did not believe in him, which is amazing to me. All this time that he was healing people and showing himself to the masses, his brothers did not understand him and they didn't believe in him. There's one place where the Bible says that the family found out that Jesus was being surrounded by so many people that he wasn't even getting rest. The Bible says that they thought he was mad. They thought he was crazy. That's in Mark chapter 3. And so the brothers, and Mary was actually with them. I'm sure Mary wasn't wanting to see them, but they actually came and were trying to kidnap him because they thought he was crazy. There's another place in John where the brothers came to him and said, why don't you go on to Jerusalem? Why aren't you going to the feast? Because we know you want to make a name for yourself. If you want to be famous, you need to go where the people are. And it says there that the brothers did not believe in him. But all that changed Because the Apostle Paul says that he appeared to James, who was known as the Lord's brother, James the Lord's brother. When Jesus was on the cross, when he designated somebody to take care of Mary, it's interesting, he didn't choose his brothers. He chose John, the Apostle John. But Jesus made a point to appear to his brother, and everything changed from that point on. James, the Lord's brother, became one of the leading people in the church in Jerusalem. Paul calls him a pillar. And there are places in the book of Acts where James was the one who stood up and had the answer to certain thorny problems in the church. For the rest of his life, he gave his life to serving Jesus. He never called himself the Lord's brother. He called in the book of James, which he wrote, James, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's another thing. The book of Jude, most people believe, was written by one of the other brothers of Jesus. He's the one listed, one of the names listed in Nazareth. So two of his brothers were leaders in the church, even though they didn't believe in him at first. What made the difference? They saw him. They saw a risen Lord, and it changed everything. James, the Lord's brother, who didn't believe in him at first, eventually became a martyr. The story goes that he was asked to stand on a pinnacle at the temple in Jerusalem and instruct the people that they should not look at Jesus as being the Messiah, that they needed to be taught more correctly, that he was not the Messiah. James went there on that pinnacle, and he began to proclaim openly that people should turn to Jesus, that he is the Son of God, he is the Christ. And at that point, they pushed him off the pinnacle and hurled him to the ground, and the people began to stone him. And a man who was a launderer had a brush, a big brush that they used to beat clothes with, and they smashed his skull in and killed him. And he was one of the martyrs. I'm telling you right now, an encounter with a living, risen Christ made all the difference. And it can make all the difference in your life. You might not see him or touch him, but Jesus even told Thomas, "Blessed are the people who will believe in me later on, who haven't seen me, but they still believe in me." So we celebrate the resurrection, and I want to wish all of you a happy Easter weekend, but think about Jesus as you celebrate it and not just the family meals and the ham and the eggs and that sort of thing. I want to close with one last song. This is taken from a verse in Revelation, and I recorded it on my last album. It's called "Behold, He is Coming." The Bible says, "Every eye will see him when he comes again. Even those who pierced him, they will see the coming King." Thank you for listening to us today. This is "Behold, He is Coming." Even so.
pierced him.
Those who pierced him.
And all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. Even so,
me and my 88 friends, me and my 88 friends.